Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. We are going to be talking more about what's happening just over the border in Israel. It's very important because we often get spillover, unfortunately. And we are going to be speaking about the recent bombing attacks in Syria, all what's happening there, the spillover, and we're going to get a special inside view by an Arab man who is going to be telling us about the war in Syria, how he believes it will affect Jews and Arabs on a wider scale. And this Arab man, he's a Jordanian Arab politician. I'm going to introduce him when we get back on the show, but he's going to give us his inside take on the situation. By the way, this is a call-in show, so if you'd like to join in on the discussion, you're more than welcome to do so. Our numbers are on our homepage at israelnewstalkradio.com. Just go to the top of the page there. It's right in the center to phone in. We'd love to take your calls, and you can weigh in. You can agree, disagree. We want to hear from you. I want to remind you all that you can also join me in the chat room. Chat room is really nice because you get to meet people from other places in the world when you are there, people who are interested in Israel. It's a lot of fun. I'm in there as well. And if you have any comments or questions, sometimes I get a chance to read those out over the air as well. And so I can see what's going on with you, and you can lagiv, or as we say in English, you can react to what is going on the show. So join me in the chat room. That's the orange button on the player that you're listening on, or it's the orange button at the top of our website at israelnewstalkradio.com. I want to say hello to all of the people who are listening in right now. I'm just trying to take a look here at the other screen. All over the United States, I see Israel, France, the United Kingdom, Australia. Hi to our listeners in the land down under. And also we have from Germany and Spain and Sweden. So hello to all of you listening all over the globe. It's really, really nice to have you here. Again, join me in the chat room because that's where everything's happening. Okay. So we're coming on to a break in just a minute. I want to remind you all that if you haven't joined our Facebook page and put a like there so you can follow us, you're going to want to do that. All right, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I am Walter Bingham. For the past 12 years, I have each week brought you reports of life and events in Israel and the Jewish world and the news behind the news. The Walter Bingham File, new here on Israel News Talk Radio, will explain the truth to enable you to counter the myths that are spread by the world's media. So if you want to have the facts and without spin, then tune in to The Walter Bingham File every Sunday at 5 p.m. in Israel, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
We're back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. And so if you've been following the news, you're going to know that there's been a lot of fighting in Syria. There's been an escalation in fighting near Damascus and in Damascus. And we're going to be getting the story from our guest who's going to be joining us. I first want to just read you something here that is from a place called thedrive.com. It says Israel warns that it will destroy Syria's air defenses without thinking twice. This is written by Tyler Rogaway. And it says here, after 6 years of fighting, the chances that Israel may wade into the maelstrom that is the Syrian civil war is increasing after two more Israeli airstrikes rocked Syria over the weekend. One of the strikes was delivered Sunday via drone against a truck traveling between the Golan Heights in Israel and Damascus. actually, Golan Heights spreads throughout the region there. One of the two people killed supposedly had close military ties to the Assad regime and Iran, by the way. I'm just adding that in. The other strike came overnight and was rumored to have been aimed at another Hezbollah weapons convoy. So again, the Prime Minister of Israel, for all of you who have not been reading the news, said that Israel will not and cannot allow weapons to reach the Hezbollah terror organization located in Syria and also southern Lebanon. These strikes follow an early Friday morning Israel air raid that targeted a Hezbollah weapons transfer in southern Syria. That mission resulted in Syrian surface-to-air missile batteries firing on Israeli jets. And here we're talking about Israeli jets that apparently went over Syria and bombed this convoy of weapons going to the Hezbollah. By the way, Israelis woke up in the middle of the night, jumped out of their beds. There were red alert sirens and a huge explosion. And this is kind of like giving the jitters to a lot of Israelis in the area of Syria. At least one Syrian SA-5 SAM missile was intercepted by Israel's Arrow anti-ballistic missile system during the volley. The engagement was the first time that the Arrow system has ever been used in combat. And now Israel's defense minister, Avigdor Lieberman, has clearly warned Syria of what will come if another missile is fired at an Israeli Air Force jet. And he stated, quote, "The next time the Syrians use their air defense systems against our airplanes, we will destroy all of them without thinking twice." So here to tell us more on what's going on, we have one Arab man's view who is going to talk about the recent escalation in the region. And we have as our guest Mudar Zahran. He is a Jordanian politician and the head of Jordan's opposition coalition. Mudar Zahran is also a frequently published writer and a former senior officer for the U.S. Department of State through their embassy in Amman, Jordan. And interestingly, Zahran also has some aviation experience and some advanced knowledge of the F-16 fighter jets. So we're going to be speaking with him about this escalation that we're seeing in Syria and the recent bombings in and near Damascus the last several days. So I want to invite onto the show Mudar Zahran.
Hello, and thanks for having me, Tamar.
It's very good to have you on. So why don't you give us an update of what's going on now in Syria?
Well, there's for some reason, the Western media is not reporting a lot about what's happening. Yesterday, in a flash surprise attack, the opposition forces managed to take almost 45% of the capital, Damascus, formerly a very stronghold of Assad. They've managed, as reports have confirmed, to even fire Grad missiles at the palace, the royal palace, the presidential palace, and the Assad family or presidential royal family is out of Damascus at the moment. This was happened by surprise. This shows that the fat lady has not sung yet in Syria, and Assad has not won. And just what I predicted years ago, that the unrest is going to go for a very long time. Now, the most important part is what happened a few days ago when the Israeli Air Force attacked certain places in Syria. There are limitations to what I can share. And, you know, I cannot share definitely everything that I know, but I can say, generally speaking, that what happened was much bigger than most people estimate. First of all, Israel's strategy right now... Hello?
Yes, I'm with you.
Israel's strategy right now, I cannot speak on behalf of the Israeli government, but to our understanding, Israel's strategy right now remains not to get involved in the mess in Syria or any other Arab country.
Right.
Nonetheless, which is a very wise decision, Israel is now concerned with limiting Hezbollah's powers. With a relative marginal calm in Syria, Hezbollah might be one step away from doing something stupid on Israel's northern borders in order to drag Israel into the problem. in order to, you know, the softest target is always whenever you trouble in the Middle East, you attack the Jews, and it comes back, always turns out good for you because you look like a freedom fighter. So,
okay, let me stop you there just for a moment because I have a question about what you just said. It would seem logical, and not, I know that this region doesn't always act logically, but it would seem logical that they wouldn't want to bring another foe into the picture. I mean, they're having a tough enough struggle as it is now trying to fight off the rebels and ISIS. So why would they want to bring powerful Israel also into the picture?
Because Israel would never invade Syria and would never send serious troops on the ground in Syria. And the bottom line is, if they get the air to breathe, Hezbollah could always launch some rockets. And, you know, eventually it's going to be a heartbeaten backlash from Israel, and it's going to end in a short while. Most important is the ideological war in the Middle East. Obviously, us Arabs, we fight ideological wars over any wars used through weapons or hardware. It's the software inside our brains that matters the most. So just like Hamas, just like what the King of Jordan has been doing in the last 2 years, they all always, you know, adapt the anti-Jew, kill-Jew strategy, and it always gets you good publicity and more stability for your regime. It's common sense in the Middle East. So what happened, and this is what I can share, is Russia gave Assad the very advanced anti-aircraft missile systems, particularly the S-400. The S-400, and I'm speaking from, I could share its advanced first-hand knowledge of the situation of, you know, particularly were made, the S-400 and others, were particularly made to down the F-16s and F-15 fighters. F-16s are the horse, the working horse of the Israeli Air Force and the American Air Forces. What happened was particularly a very close test of whether those S-400s could down the F-16s. And it is a test that the Americans were very interested in it. I'm not claiming the whole attack. It was an attack on Hezbollah positions and installments and supplies. It was very painful, and it did cause much more damage than announced. At the same time, it proved that the S-400 missile system did not work, because the Americans, in reality, do have the code to jam that system and divert its missiles somewhere else, and they've had them for a very long time. This is the first time these were put to the test. And it happened because Israeli pilots went beyond the danger zone, and they were fired at by the S-400. I could confirm that, and no one else maybe in Israel would tell you that. And it showed that both the joint American-Israeli system did divert the rockets somewhere else, and they did land in Jordan. Many people could tell you this is bizarre, but no, we know that the biggest outcome that both the American and Israeli military are studying right now is the fact that the S-400 Russian missiles have proved to be ineffective today with the technology that both Israel and America have developed. And this is the main realm of the story that happened, and not anything else. For the time being, our information confirmed that Israel will keep bombing down and destroying and literally vaporizing all of Hezbollah's installments anywhere near to it. But when Mr. Lieberman said, if the Syrians launch at our airplanes again, we're going to destroy their systems, it should have translated into, we know your Russian gifted systems no longer work against our airplanes. Don't let us destroy all of them.
Okay, so
They might work against other Arab airplanes. But not against the Israeli or American ones.
Okay, well, thank God for that. I just want to confirm with you now, so our listeners understand as well. Since last night, you were saying that there's been a power outage in Syria. There's no power. that that Assad has fled
in
his
palace in Damascus.
That Assad has fled his palace there, and it's just chaos. Then that's what you're saying, just very briefly.
45% of the capital today is in the hands of the opposition. Nonetheless, this is not a situation we expect to persist. They probably just pull out at the right time, but it has been a very humiliating and least expected attack as far as Assad is concerned.
Okay, so hold it right there because we have to go to a break. When we get back, I'm going to ask our guest about Jordan, because Jordan got missiles falling on its heads just this last week. So we're going to find out what he has to say about that and how it will affect the region there. And we'll take your calls if you want to call in. Our numbers are on our homepage. We'll be right back.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio, and we're talking about the recent escalation of violence in Syria. According to news reports and according to our guest also, Damascus is without power. The president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad, has fled his palace there. He is not there, and 45% of the city is... is taken by the rebels already, so it doesn't look too good there. So I want to get back with you, Mudar Zahran, and ask you about Jordan, because you are a politician from Jordan. You were in the opposition party, the head of the opposition party there, and I want you to tell our guests, you know, right now King Hussein is trying to hold on to his power. He has a huge immigration from these Syrian refugees, and other refugees have poured into Jordan, taxing the economy, making it very difficult. You're getting in the skirmish with the missiles falling. So what does the future hold for Jordan?
Well, first of all, what the future holds is what was in the press just the other week, and it was all over the American and the Israeli press. The Israeli, a leaked Israeli report by the Israeli Department of Ministry of Foreign Affairs shows that they believe, more or less, that, quote, unquote, the fall of the Hashemite regime is imminent. It's going to happen sooner or later, and there's no way to bail it out for countless reasons. And ironically, this is what I've warned of all over the place, including your show. I've been warning again about this for the last 2 years, and now it's becoming a fact. I was ridiculed, I was talked off, shut off, shut up, whatever the word was. The term eventually was to shut me up, and now it's proven to be true. Bottom line is, we don't know when the regime is going to fall, but it's going to fall. The refugees are not the biggest problem, to be honest. The refugees are a mere 650,000. As documented, and they don't get, this is not Israel, this is not, you know, France or Sweden. Jordanians cannot get anything for free from the government, let alone refugees. So they cannot be taxing the regime if they're not getting anything from it. And the U.S. and other Arab countries, rich Arab, are already footing the bill for them.
Yeah, but what about those that have to be housed? Aren't there tent cities? They have to eat? They need medical care.
There's no such thing as medical care in Jordan. If you get sick, you die. If you don't have the money. The king has to show us, if he spends a single dollar, a single igora, for those Syrian refugees. None. Everything is covered by the United States. His problem is not with those refugees. Okay. His problem is with the public, who has become so poor because of the king's lavish lifestyle at their own expense. And also... the fact that the king is not helping himself. Abdullah, most Israelis are influenced by King Hussein being a nice, king, and they think his son is just his successor. He's everything, but I've documented his anti-Semitic work. I've documented his close partnership with the Muslim Brotherhood. It's documented by the Western media that he's been caught twice selling weapons to ISIS, believe it or not. It's documented he buys oil from ISIS. That's not the issue, but now he's up the ante. You know, the more you get, if you're an Arab dictator, the more you get into trouble, the more you target Israel to save yourself and play the anti-Israel card. Right now, the Jordanian soldier who killed 7 Israeli girls 20 years ago. He served his time. He did the crime. He did the time. Oh, that's okay. As far as I'm concerned, he did his time. It's okay if they let him go after he served his full term. But then the Jordanian state media and the Jordanian government gave him a hero's welcome and celebrated him on state TV, state television. And on top of that, the king sent his personal envoy to congratulate the killer for his release.
It's horrible.
It did not stop there. There's the young woman by the name of Ahlam Tamimi. Ahlam Tamimi was one of the plotters of the pizzeria attack on the 9th of August, 2001. The attack claimed the lives of 15 people, including 8 children. And that woman was released in the Shalit prisoner swap deal.
Right.
And she's a Jordanian. She's not even Palestinian. And she was sent to Jordan. So when that happened, the United States now is asking for her extradition because 2 of the victims were Americans. And what does the king do? Just today, his state-controlled court issues a resolution by which it refuses to extradite a child killer to the United States. I am convinced, and many people who are close observance of Jordan, that the king is playing with fire, playing the game of, if I can't have her, no one else will. And this is becoming more dangerous. We've documented how the king was involved. His intelligence was involved in orchestrating the knife intifada. This guy has become a hazard for everyone. And I think Mr. Trump will not tolerate this lunacy for too long. Obama was a different case. Obama was, by all means, someone who didn't like Israel, didn't like, in my opinion, didn't like Jews, and didn't like Arabs either. So I thank God that he's gone. But I don't think Trump is going to tolerate Jordan's king nonsense for too long. But rest assured, for Israelis who could hear me, if you think Jordan's king is a friend, you can Google my work and look it up. Google the evidence. He's no friend of Israel. He's aligned with every enemy of Israel. And for good reasons. Because, you know, if peace happens, him and many other Arab regimes won't exist. So the enemy, Israel, has to remain an enemy for a very long time. And it's been always the oldest trick in the book. And the Jewish pinata has always been the softest pinata to attack. Or whack, actually.
Right.
So this is how it goes.
Tell us about the missile that was shot down by Israel. There was when Israeli jets went into Syria and attacked, and Syria retaliated with their missiles, and we took them out with the Arrow system, and that missile crashed actually exploded in midair and then fell into Jordanian territory. There's pictures up on the media of people looking at the wreckage there. What was going through the Jordanian people's minds and with the king?
Well, basically, it shows that the king cannot burn up a fire or contribute to a fire next door and think nothing's going to hit him, you know? You play with ash, you get ash. You play with fire, you get fire. You get burned. So that's the first thing I'm sure he's thinking, and what our public is definitely thinking. And I could confirm the missiles that were shut down or intercepted were not what either Israel or anyone else has reported. They were very advanced Russian S-400 missiles, and that's to the best of our intelligence information. Mm-hmm. Israel doesn't have the habit of understatement for many good reasons, including, you know, being, you know, making yourself look weaker than you really are. But the missiles were not what Israel described. They were very advanced missiles, and Israel and the U.S. now had the ability to shut down any Russian-made anti-aircraft system that's present in Syria today.
Well, thank God.
And that's why the missiles landed in Jordan, because the system diverts the electronics and jams them so they don't chase the jets and instead land somewhere else. That's what's happened in Jordan.
Tell our listeners what the relationship is between the King Abdullah of Jordan and Assad. Is he for Assad or is he for the rebels?
He is for Assad, and the king's relationship to Iran is incredibly advanced, despite anything he keeps claiming. He has refused to shut down the Iranian embassy, despite demand from several Arab states, and he was the first to send his secretary of state or foreign minister recently to Iran, even after Trump has become president. He is in alliance with the very wrong people. The circuit or the cycle of alliance that he has is Assad, Hamas, Muslim Brotherhood, Iran, and the Iraqi Shiite government. That's why he's not friends with the Kurds, for example. This might sound very shocking and very outlandish to many of your listeners, but all they have to do is Google my work or simply do the homework, and they'll find that it is. Now, what's very interesting for me as an Orthodox Muslim who believes in the Torah, we Muslims believe that the Torah is the word of God. I have had some Jewish scholars notify me that it's somewhere in the Torah that Jordan or Yarden would actually align itself with Israel's enemies by the end of time. And if that's the prophecy, I haven't read it. If that's actually true in the Torah, it seems to be materializing to me. Could be a coincidence, but you never know.
Right.
No
as
such
well,
thing as coincidence in the Middle East.
Yes, and as well it says in the Torah that Damascus will lie in ruins, and such an old, ancient city, one of the oldest in the world today, to see it actually happen before our eyes is amazing. All right, we're going to take a break for the news and some messages. When we get back, we're going to be finishing up and talking about what the future is. How long will this war last? What is it going to... How is it going to affect us? Remember, the United States is involved, Russia, Iran. This can grow much bigger. So don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back and talk about this with our guest, Mudar Zafran. If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio. Please consider supporting our advertisers who help keep us on the air so you can listen for free. Thank you.
I used to get up all the time at night to go to the bathroom and have to take numerous breaks at work as well. But not anymore. I found what some people claim is a miracle cure from Israel. It's made from the cactus flower called opuntuma. It's an all-natural and herbal remedy that helps with urinary problems, and it's really helped me. No more embarrassing trips to the bathroom. Get it at priso.com. That's PRISSO.com.
All right, we are back here at Israel News Talk Radio, and the topic is Syria, the recent escalation, especially in the capital city, Damascus. According to news reports, there is no power in Damascus. At night, it is completely black. There's fighting taking place. Embassies have been evacuated from different countries. They have left. And as well, the Syrian president, Assad, is gone as well. He's not there either. So it's very, very interesting what's going on. How is this going to affect the wider region? And by the way, if you think this is happening all the way over in the Middle East and it has nothing to do with you, remember that the United States has interests here. The United States has soldiers here. And so does Russia and Iran, a very big emerging power as well. And there are a lot of interests here. This can and possibly will affect the whole world. So let's have our guest come back on the show again, Mudar Zahran, a Jordanian politician and the head of Jordan's opposition coalition. So, Mudar, where do you see this war ending? I mean, is it going to end or is it going to keep on going? What do you think?
It's not going to end anytime soon. And this is the status quo, which everyone has to accept and live with for a very long time to come. Assad might go tomorrow, might leave tomorrow, but his regime, the Alawite regime, is going to go. Syria will be divided and recarved, and it's already has been divided. The most important thing is ISIS, under a very strong push from Trump. President Trump has been in office for 60 days now, and ISIS has lost territory and soldiers more than it has lost in 4 years under President Obama. So it shows that the president has a very silent but very vigorous push against ISIS. It involves the Russia, Egypt, and Turkey, and Israeli intelligence, and sometimes Israeli drones, but only when needed. So the most important thing is we might be looking at the end of ISIS before the end of summer. And as far as everywhere else, it's going to look the same. The lesson was very great by a very determined Israel that if anyone touches us, he will pay. So now they know better than, you know, messing up with Israel. So I don't think they're going to be attacking Israel anytime soon. And there's not going to be any serious war, but the Israeli strikes are going to continue against Hezbollah for a very long time, and we're going to see more Israeli jets in serious skies than ever before. For the record, Israel now, Israeli Air Force and American Air Force are protecting Jordan's northern borders, and this has been the case now for 18 months, as much as it's not being publicized. So status quo remains. We're not expecting anything major, but the only thing you should expect is a potential change in Jordan in the foreseen future, simply because the current occupant in the White House, of the White House, is not willing to go out of his way to serve any dictator who cannot help himself.
Let me ask you this. You had mentioned that Syria is going to be divided. They're going to basically, Syria is going to dissolve, and we have so many different groups of people. You've got the Kurds, you've got the Alawites, you've got the Shiites, you've got the Sunnis. And let me just remind all of our listeners that before World War I, the entire Middle East was one huge conglomerate underneath the Ottoman Empire, which were the Turks. There were no borders between Jordan. Jordan didn't even exist as a state. It was just called the other side of the Jordan, basically, Transjordan. And all of these countries that we see today, the borders with Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and all these other states were drawn up by the winners of World War I, which were the French and the British. And it has made unnatural borders because you've got so many people who are against each other. And so now we're going to see the dissolving of these borders. We've seen it already in Iraq. The borders are dissolved. And next, you're saying that we're going to see it in Syria, and it's going to be redivided now into Kurdish territory, etc.?
It's already been divided. It's already been de facto divided. There is the Kurdish territories. There is the Alawite territories on the coast of Syria, near the opposite to the Mediterranean. And there's the southern Syria, which is mostly Alawite-controlled, state-controlled, regime-controlled. There's also the north, which is mostly controlled by ISIS from one part, which is now collapsing, and the Kurds. And there's the center, which is controlled by, and the center north, which northern center, which is controlled by the Sunnis. So it has been already divided. The only thing that the U.S. is seeking is to end ISIS. And what Israel is seeking is for any of those groups not to do anything stupid on Israel's borders or against Israel. That's the bottom line. It has been divided de facto, and it's obviously a very sad state of affairs that we Arabs are sitting, butchering one another for the sake of God, which I believe God is innocent from everything we've been doing to one another in this region. And basically, it's very sad to admit we have turned ourselves into a laughingstock and a miserable bunch of people by this attitude and religious zeals.
Okay,
Mudar, this is the case.
Let me ask you this. What do you believe is going to happen to Assad? Damascus, as you said, approximately 45% of it has already fallen. It's under rebel hands. He has left the city. We don't know where he is, according to news reports, at least. I don't know where he is. What do you think is going to happen to him?
I think, as a person, I think he has no future in Syria, because one of the pillars of any sort of truce is getting rid of Assad. His regime will remain. The Assad Alawite regime is going to remain as is. Damascus, it's not the first time they take a huge chunk of it. They can take it, but they cannot keep it. So I think this is going to, in my opinion, at least from past experience, they're going to pull out of the city very soon. But it shows that they were able to strike fear and cause some serious injury to the regime, and that's about it. As far as you guys are concerned, I think Israel is safe. The only people who should worry are your listeners in Europe, because now ISIS is being defeated, and those soldiers, ISIS terrorists, I know many of them have already landed in Europe, and now that they're being squeezed out of Syria, many of them are going to go to Europe. So I think soon you're going to hear about more terrorist attacks in Europe. And I think now the Jewish population in Europe is one of the softest targets for those people. So this is altogether is not good. And I hate to be wasting the listeners' time by analyzing why it happened, but all of this could have been avoidable if only Obama stood up 6 years ago, either supported the moderate rebels, because they did exist then, but not now, or supported the Assad regime, but he left it and kept watching while it happened. And now, unfortunately, we all have to pay the price while President Obama is golfing somewhere.
Yeah. And, you know, the same thing with the People's Revolution in Iran. I couldn't understand why America, I think this was even under Bush, was not helping the people in Iran to overthrow their mullahs, their ayatollahs. It's just amazing. So last question, we only have 3 minutes left, and that is, what would you like to see for the region, knowing that you are hoping to take over the government after King Abdullah would fall or leave or whatever would happen, that you're in the opposition party, you would like to take the reins. What would you like to see happen in the whole entire region?
I would love for peace to happen in the entire region. The Saudis now have changed their hearts, and I always advocated peace between Saudi and Israel. And now there are some peace talks behind the scenes, and we might see serious change in the years to come under this term of President Trump's time. But as far as Jordan/Palestine and Israel are concerned, I think that a Palestinian homeland has always been Jordan, which is 78% of the British mandate for Palestine. If there was a British mandate for Palestine, then there was 22% of it which went to Jewish Palestine as Israel, including Judea and Samaria or the West Bank, and Jordan as the Palestinian homeland. Anyone, and this is to your listeners, anyone buying an insurance policy on the King of Jordan remaining in power is making a very bad investment. Now, when we make it to power, inshallah, Beretz Hashem, we want an alliance, economic, military, intelligence, and social and educational partnership with Israel that's very similar to the one between Canada and the United States. And because it's the only way we could survive the times to come as the Middle East becomes more radical and more crazy, So we have one of the most advanced nations next to us. We better make the peace with them. It's going to be difficult because people have been indoctrinated into hating Jews and anti-Semitism. But, you know, in the Arab world, the will of the leaders always prevails over the will of the masses. So it takes the right leader to be in charge. We're very optimistic. We just know one thing. Today we have a friend in the White House who has zero tolerance for anti-Semitism and zero tolerance for terrorism.
All right.
That gives us some confidence about what we're doing.
Mudar, where can people follow you?
People can follow me on Twitter at Mudar, M-U-D-A-R, underscore Zahran, Z-A-H-R-A-N. Please Google my name on Twitter. It's the best way to reach me, and I look forward to your comments and following.
All right. Thank you so much, Mudar Zahran, for coming on the show, giving us your take on what's happening. And we hope that there will be safety for all people of the regions here and around the world, because it affects everyone. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Amen. Thank you very much. Appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you, everybody, and I will be back tomorrow at the same time, so you'll want to tune in, and remember to join us on Facebook. Give us that like so you can follow us and get all the information that's coming out. Thanks for being with us. Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio. Straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.